Okay, welcome to the PA Interview Spotlight. Our special guest today is the human floor.
Holy
Welcome,
shit.
THF.
Thank you, Brian. Tags, nice. Thank you for everything.
Yeah, I appreciate you being here. First, I'd like you to explain to our listeners who are not familiar with your act exactly what you do.
Well, I'm a sideshow performer, and I do a lot of different circus acts, and I do everything from the bed of nails to walking on glass to pretty much everything. Fire eater and fire breather, and I let people run over me with cars, and
That's amazing.
yeah, that's what I say sometimes too. And I just wish, I just wish it paid better, but it's the things you got to do for money is insane.
Wow. Well, that's, yeah. Can you tell us why, what actually got you started in this type of entertainment? I'm very curious.
I was married once before.
Okay.
My friends told me not to do it because if they said if you get married, she's gonna walk all over you, and she certainly did, and so did her lawyer.
Oh.
So so after that, I just figured if I gotta pay them for what they did to me, so I figured maybe I'll get some people to pay me to let them do it to me. So that's how I ended up getting that going.
That sounds logical.
Hey, you gotta. I'm taking it from them to give to I'm taking it from Peter to pay Paul. So.
Yeah, there you go. So you say you lay on beds of nails and glass.
Yes.
How do you do that without getting injured? I mean, that sounds dangerous.
What was that? No brain, no pain. Is that how they call it? Something like that. I don't know. I just it's funny. I got people telling me, asking me if I meditate or whatever before I do my act
Right.
and stuff. And
Yeah.
I say no. I don't. I just do it. I don't give it any thought. And I just do it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I said he must get himself in a mental state to be able to endure that pain and come out of it unscathed. It's
Oh, it's funny that you say it like that too, because I was just talking to I got a buddy of mine that that's trying to get to form a group, and he wants to go all across the country like doing state fairs. And I told him I'd be more than happy to be interested in doing it. If I could get to do this full time, I'd definitely quit my job to do it full time and be able to make money. I would do it. But I was just telling him when he called me the other night. I said, it's kind of funny. Because I do two be I get sandwiched between two beds of nails before the end of the night, and I have people on top of them and stuff. And recently, it's at, I it, they've actually gone through my body, the nails, and most more likely in my back. And I've gotten up off the beds of nails, and people said, "Oh, he's bleeding, and my back's punctured open and stuff." And I don't know what it is, but I've been going through the nails lately with my body, but I haven't been able to. I actually don't even feel the nails, so
Really?
I'm not even noticing that I'm going through them.
I don't think I could do that. That's I find that quite amazing. So I've noticed, I kind of I've been looking on at some of your links on the internet, and you did some television, right?
Oh, I've done quite a bit of television, actually.
Yeah. What do you have a one of those special moments that you'd like to tell us about? One of
Special.
those, yeah, one of those you non-forget, non-forgettable, let's say.
Oh, that was when I got asked to do. I actually I was out. Now you got to understand now. Now, do you want to know exactly how I got started doing this specifically, or?
If you want to elaborate, sure. I'm
Okay, I got started doing this because I was actually a performer before this, but what I was doing is I was working fetish events, and I was going all across the country performing those too. And when I say fetish events, I mean I was working at B&D S&M events.
Really?
Yes, sir. And I was on stage doing stage performances and stuff. And I was down in Jersey. I went all across everywhere doing that. And somebody told me I should get into the sideshow business because of the stuff I do. They figured, if you can do that, you should be able to do the other stuff. And that's how I got basically started doing the circus stuff. I still do the fetish events. I just worked one last year in the wintertime. It's called the Fetish Flea Market up in Rhode Island, and I did that. And they have them all over the country, anyways. But I don't know if I'm going to do it this year. But I've done a few of them. I've worked a couple of different golf clubs and stuff like that, doing my stuff. But But I was obviously, when I was doing that stuff, I was doing things a little bit different than compared to what I'm doing now.
Yeah, I would think so.
But at the results seem to be the same, put it that way. But I did a convention, a fetish convention in Los Angeles. And while I was out there, at the time, Cinemax was around. And mm-hmm. Cinemax was filming me with this girl asked me, now I was with a bunch of people that came down there, and some girl saw me sitting there one day and asked me if I could take some pictures with her. So I did. So then the next day I was walking around the flea, the convention, and she asked me if I'd be interested in doing a small thing with Cinemax for her. So, you know, I laid down and she was walking all over me and stuff, and she was standing on my face and she's talking to the cameras and stuff. So, right after I did that, I came back out again to do another event. And this time here, I was actually, again, I was asked to do a video. So I did a video for sale video. And it was out at a mansion out in Los Angeles. And I did the video. And within 2 weeks after I got home, HBO had contacted me and said, hey, we saw your videos, and we want to know if you want to come out and do the HBO late night special, HBO late night with Katie Morgan, the stripper. So I actually had to think deep and hard about that one, obviously. And I'm like, oh yeah, I can't make it. So I was on the first flight I could get my ass out there to. And I mean, you know, they sent me a limo and stuff, and they paid the flight and everything.
Wow.
Yeah, so I get out there, and I actually didn't know who she was, and I had to look her up before I went out there. So, you know, I checked out, you know, how she does things. So I went out there, and I'm on the show, and Katie Morgan, now, she's an interviewer, such as yourself, and the only better part about her is she takes off all her clothes and comes over to interview you. So
that's not happening here. So
I didn't want that to happen anyways. Not tonight anyways. So anyway, she comes out in a negligee, and she comes over to me. She goes, oh, wait a minute. I got to get my uniform. So she walks off again, and she takes off her negligee, and she comes over, and she's, you know, stark naked. So now I'm sitting on a stool. She's sitting next to me, and she's asking me questions, and, you know, I'm looking at her, and I'm like, how did I get here? I mean, how did this happen? I mean, you know, it was just I just couldn't explain it.
Right.
Yeah. That was the like a key moment in my life.
Oh wow, that's quite a story.
Oh, the best one though.
Yeah.
But the best one though, mm-hmm. and I will tell you, and this is funny, is a year ago, September. I mean August or whatever it was. I was out doing a festival in Canada. And I got a phone call asking me if I could be in Boston on that Monday. So I says, for what? And they're like, oh, we're doing a show, and we want to, you know, they were auditioning people. We want you to come back. We think you might be right for the show. So I got talking, and they didn't tell me exactly what it was about, but they needed me at a bar in Boston on that Monday. So I told the festival I had to leave a day early because I was supposed to work Sunday, and I ended up taking that off and heading back to Boston. So I get home, and I got these people calling me all day Monday. And first it's like, well, you don't have to come up to the bar now. And I say, like, okay. And I'm like, so what are we doing? They're like, can you come to this guy's house in Boston at like 2 in the afternoon or whatever? I'm like, yeah, okay. And then they still haven't told me anything.
Yeah.
So the next minute, I'm getting ready, and about 12:30, I'm getting ready to leave to go to Boston to meet these people. They call me again. We just want to let you know that you won. Now, they haven't told me anything, so I'm like, I won what? I mean, I don't even know what the hell they're even talking about.
Yeah.
And they said to me, well, we want you to perform at the Mayhem Metal Fest show with Rob Zombie and Korn.
Wow.
In front of 20,000 people. So I says, sure, because I mean the place in Boston where it's held was in Mansfield, Mass, and that's actually only like 15 minutes from my house, so that was even better. And they were paying me to come out to do it and stuff, and I said, yeah, sure. And they said, well, just be at this house at 2 o'clock. So I get there, and they're using this guy's house, and I got to pretend that's mine. So I'm inside this guy's house, and they're filming, And there's a knock at the door. I open the door, and it's three midgets.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Two males and a female midget. And they say, hey, we're looking for the human floor. And I'm like, that's me. And they're like, well, we heard you got an act you wanted to show us. So they wanted me to do the broken glass act. So I got the broken glass set up in the back out of this guy's house. So I bring him out back. I'm walking in glass. So then I pick up the female midget, and I'm walking through the glass, and I'm jumping up and down in it. And then I lay in it, and the female midget's jumping up and down on me. So the three midgets look at each other and said, hey, you're the guy we want. We want you to come perform for us at the Mayhem Metal Fest show. Would you do it? And I said, yeah. So, you know, I'm filming all this for some kind of like commercial, I guess. I don't know what it was for. So they're like, oh, you know, they did a cut and everything was good. And they says, well, we're going to come pick you up at your house at like 2 in the afternoon the next day, because the next day was the Mayhem Metal Fest show. So I says, yeah. So they're picking me up with the three midgets in a limo. So in front of my house now. So I'm sitting out in front of my house. I got two beds of nails with me. I'm sitting out in front of my house, and I'm thinking, you know, now this was like 2 years ago. So I was like, at the time I was 47 years old, and I'm sitting there and I'm waiting for him. And I'm like, wait a minute. I make a phone call, and I called a friend of mine, and he says, what's up? And I says, hey, do you think my life took a wrong turn? And he says, well, what do you mean? I says, well, I says, I got to tell you, you know, I'm 47 years old. I said, I'm sitting out in front of my house with two beds of nails waiting for three midgets to pick me up in a limo.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so hilarious.
Yeah, so they picked me up, and, you know, they took me to the show. And actually, if you go on my Facebook page, you'll see the video that actually some guy took, because I had no way of getting video footage of it. And some guy was in the audience from like way back, but you can see me doing it. You can see the three midgets doing their act first, and then they call me on stage, and then I ended up doing the two beds of nails with like six girls right after that. So, and it was right before Korn came on stage, because they were all set up to go on behind me.
Yeah.
So that was probably my probably one of the funniest ones, I would say.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
Yeah. So it's not every day you get midgets picking you up. I'm just telling you. It's just it's a funny life I live.
It's almost, it sounds like it's made up, but it's not.
It's I'm telling you,
it's amazing. Hey, where can our listeners see you next? Where are you going to be?
I got this. It's kind of funny. I got this guy that does horror movies and stuff out of Connecticut, and he's got me doing something for his webpage come a week from Saturday in Connecticut. And I got to meet him in Springfield, Massachusetts now. And we're going to do some filming and put my stuff up on his website. And then he wants me to start being in some of his horror flicks that they produce. It's called Moongoyle.com, I believe.
Moongoyle.com?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I can look that up real quick here, because I'm actually sitting in front of my computer as we're talking, obviously. Because he sent me a message, and he wrote the name of the company in it. So I got that coming up on the 10th, if everything goes right. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to be actually working a charity event. I believe it's for children, January 7th in Naugatuck, Connecticut. That's sure. Coming up.
Good.
And I do a lot of charity events. I've actually worked breast cancer events. I've worked for PETA a couple of times. It's Moongoyle Entertainment.
Moongoyle Entertainment.
Yeah.
Okay, hey, we'll be looking for that for sure.
Yeah, and so I'm looking for that for the 10th, just to do some filming for them. And then I got something coming up on the 7th. Right now, in the wintertime, it's kind of hard because of traveling and stuff. And
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And the holiday time, I try not to do too much anyways, because it's the cost of traveling and trying to get people to even cover that's kind of hard because of how much the prices jump. And then
right.
And usually I don't have anything really too much scheduled right now up into up past January, actually, as of right now anyways.
Okay. Well, good. It's we thank you so much for your time, and very much enjoyed your stories. And we'd like
Was that it? That's it?
We'd like to have you back sometime. Yeah, we're out of time.
Are we really?
Yeah.
And I had a question for you too.
Okay. We have a question. We got time for that. Go ahead.
Sure?
Yeah.
Now you're down in Florida, right?
Yes, I am.
Hey, can you still get some great Census a Million down there?
Is the are the police listening to that?
That's what I was gonna say too before.
Now I know why you asked that at the beginning before the interview.
Well, no, I was stationed down in Key. I was stationed in Key West when Castro let the mental patients out of the out on the boats and stuff. So when they were so when they were living out in the parking lots out there in Key West, Florida, I was out there for that.
Oh.
So I spent a few. I spent like 3 years stationed at the Air Squadron down there, and obviously, you know, there was funny things that used to land in the water coming off boats that from the Coast Guard chasing people and stuff that used to end up on land sometimes. And it was just kind of funny, but there was a lot of different things growing in Key West than you would think, more so than tomatoes and cucumbers. I'll tell you that much.
And it's probably a little different now. But
oh yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, but it was some fun times back then.
Yeah. Well, cool. Good, good, good. Hey, you know, I'd like to have you back sometime if you're up to it.
Oh, I'm always up for anything.
Sure. Okay. Great. Well, thanks to the human floor, and this is the end of the PA Interview Spotlight. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.